We're going to talk about the Christian's need to remember his baptism. You know, many times we may think that baptism simply is important to us when we're in our alien sins and we obey the gospel and we become Christians. We're born again when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, and we may think we can forget our baptism. But I think if you'll think with me, when you begin to read the epistles, you begin to see that the inspired writers bring up baptism, and they bring it up often in relationship to Christians. And the subject is brought up to teach some great lessons to we who are Christians. And as we begin to study the Word of God along this line, we need to remember our baptism, to remember that we are new creatures. We are new creatures in Christ because we have been baptized. You remember Paul, as he wrote to the Romans, in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, and he's writing now to brethren. And he brings up the subject of baptism. He says, in verse 3, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And of course, he didn't want these Christians to forget this. And then he says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So we need to remember our baptism, to remember that we now have come forth from that watery grave that we might walk in newness of life. It was in baptism that we ended the life of sin, and we started living the life of righteousness. As he would point out, as you would go to the 17th and 18th verses of this same chapter, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves," I'm in the 16th verse, "whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, and being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Now, when did we become the servants of righteousness? When did we end our life of sin? We ended that in baptism. Of course, you understand we're talking about scriptural baptism, where a man has heard and believed and repented of his sins, confessed his Lord, and the final act, the consummating act that puts what into Christ, that remits our sins, is baptism. And Paul brings this up. He brings this to remembrance, to the remembrance of these Christians. One who now is in Christ, one who has been baptized, he is a new creature. Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter and in verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So I need to remember my baptism. My life of sin ended at baptism. Your life of sin ended at baptism. And we need to keep that in mind, that the old man was put to death, that now we are the new man. And the Apostle Paul talks about this as we would go to the 3rd chapter of the Colossian letter. And he tells them there in verses 9 and 10 of the 3rd chapter, he says, "Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Well, when was the old man put off? Whenever they were baptized. You see, going back again to the Roman letter, to the 6th chapter of the Roman letter, he would say there in verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified." are put to death, you see, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So you see, the old man was crucified, and the body of sin was destroyed. When did that happen? It happened when we were baptized. And so lying does not go with the new man. Lying was part of the old man. And as he has said back in verse 8 of going back to Colossians 3, but now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. These things do not belong to the life of the Christian. Well, when were these sins cut off? When were they forgiven? When did we begin to live a life of righteousness? When we were baptized, you see. When a man comes up out of the watery grave, he is a new creature. He is a new man. The old man has been put to death. And he goes on to say in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Colossians, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then if you would go back to the first two verses of this 3rd chapter of Colossians, again, he's talking to Christians. And he's talking about our baptism. We need to remember it, that we might remember some things, how to live better. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. You see, he's talking about baptism. He had been talking about it earlier, you remember, back in this same chapter, when he said in verses 11 and 12, he says, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, he says, you have put off the body of the sins of the flesh with the circumcision of Christ. What was that circumcision? It was baptism. Notice verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So you see, baptism plays a very important part in our living the Christian life. We need to constantly keep it on our minds. We need to remember what occurred when we were baptized. The old man was put to death. We're now new creatures in Christ because we have been baptized. And he says in verse 2 of Colossians 3, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, because we have been baptized, our affections are not to be on things on the earth, but our affections are to be on things above. And so as you begin to read the epistles, you see that the inspired writers talk about baptism, but they talk about it in context to the Christian. He needs to remember. He needs to keep in mind. He needs to recognize this is what happened when we were baptized. I cannot go out here and live a life of sin. Why? I've been baptized. And when I was baptized, then the life of sin ended, that I began to live a life of righteousness. And we need to keep that in mind. And Christians continue steadfast in worship because they have been baptized. You know, you go back to the 2nd chapter of the book of Luke, as Luke records here concerning what occurred on Pentecost. And these people now on Pentecost gladly received the word, and those that gladly received the word and were baptized, these people continued steadfastly in worship. Notice as we go back to the record, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Now let's see what happens to these people who were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, you have been baptized, and therefore you must continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Christians today need to do the same thing that these early Christians did. Whenever a man is baptized, whenever a man has been born anew, whenever a man is a new creature in Christ Jesus, people who have been baptized continue steadfastly in worship, not forsaking the assembling of the saints, but are steadfast. And I need to remember that. You remember when you were first baptized, how steadfast you wanted to be? You didn't want to miss a service. Christians, it's very unusual for a man who becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus for him to want to miss any service, because even as a babe in Christ, he is filled with joy, and he recognizes the responsibility and how important it is that he come together with his brethren. A lot of times, as we grow older in the faith and as we move on out from our baptism, if we don't keep it in mind, then sometimes we grow cold and we fail to recognize what has occurred. And so you can see over and over, baptism is brought up in relationship to we who are Christians. The God of heaven wants us to remember this. This is the starting point. This is that which brings us into the kingdom. And people who have been baptized are new creatures. People who have been baptized are to continue steadfast in worship. But let's look at something else. Christians are united because they have been baptized. Now, one of the things that will help keep us united is to remember our baptism. You remember Paul in the Galatian letter brings up baptism as he now writes to Christians, to these churches of Galatia. And in this third chapter, beginning with verse 26, he says now, "For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, when did they become children of God in Christ Jesus? When they were baptized, you see. And then he goes on to tell them something else about this baptism. He says, those now that have been baptized into Christ, those that are in Christ, everybody that's been baptized into Christ, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I need to keep that in mind. If a black man comes in here, or a yellow man comes in here, and they have been baptized, they're what? They are my brothers. And there is no difference in them and me. Baptism brought us into one body, brought us into Jesus Christ. We are all one, united in Christ, both male and female, whatever race we may be, you see. And so when we begin to think about our baptism, it is that which helps keep the unity of the faith. You remember when the church at Corinth was divided and they had all the division, and Paul, what did he do? He brought up baptism. He brought up the fact of baptism to help these folks recognize the sinfulness of their division. Let's go to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And he says, now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Now notice, he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Now listen next. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What did he bring up baptism to these folks that were already Christians for? Very important. By what authority were you people baptized at Corinth? Were you baptized by Paul's authority? Or were you baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ? What authority? And they knew what authority, by what authority they had been baptized. They had been baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ. And it was that authority that made them one in Christ. And that's what we need to remember. We need to remember that Christ is not divided by his authority. We have been baptized into one body, as the Apostle Paul would tell us as he writes to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians and down verse 13. Again, he is writing to Christians, and he brings up this subject of baptism. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And then in this chapter, of course, he is dealing with division. Some, of course, did not count themselves very important. Others counted themselves more important than they were. And he points out that they have all been baptized into one body, and there are many members, but one body, and how the members ought to have proper attitudes toward one another. In verse 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 26 says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. And so you can see that baptism is very important. They had been baptized by one authority. This one authority, of course, had brought salvation, had brought them into Christ Jesus. And people from every nation have been baptized into Christ, and they are all one. We ought to be a united people. There ought not to be any divisions among us. Why? We have been baptized by the authority of Christ. We are children of God, you see, and we are members one of another because we have been baptized. Go back to the Ephesian letter, and he would say in the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter and verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, when did all of this occur? In baptism. In baptism. Baptism is very, very important, you see. It's important from many aspects. And you can see, I think, why the devil and false teachers minimize baptism. Because of the great emphasis and the great importance that it has in becoming a Christian, and the great importance it has in our lives after we become Christians. Now, you and I, we need to remember our baptism to preserve purity of life. Now, As we remember our baptism, this was the time that we were purified and sanctified. Go to the Ephesian letter and go with me to the 5th chapter and verse 26. And he says, that he might sanctify, that's set apart, you see, and cleanse. Now, when were we set apart? When were we cleansed? When were we made pure? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This all happened when we were baptized. And he brings it up. The reason the church is pure, set apart, it has been baptized. We individually, of course. And then as you go back to the 1 Corinthian letter in the 6th chapter, you remember he enumerates all of the sins that these Corinthians had been guilty of. There in verses 9 and 10, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers with themselves, with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice he gets down to verse 11. And he says, and such were some of you. But what changed this? When did the change come? But ye are washed. What is he referring to? Baptism. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When were they sanctified and cleansed and justified in baptism? And he brought this up to these Corinthians. He brought it up in the 1st chapter. He brought it up in the 2nd chapter, you see. People need to remember their baptism. They need to remember what occurred. I can't live an ungodly life. Why? I am sanctified, set apart, made pure. When? When I was baptized. And I am to continue to live that kind of life. In baptism, one is freed from sin. As we have already noticed, going back to that Roman letter, in that 6th chapter of the Roman letter, when he would say there in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Why? These people had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. If we understand what baptism is all about, what it does for us, it sanctifies, sets us apart. We become one in Christ Jesus. We are saved. A people who have been baptized can't live, oh, they can, but they can't live ungodly lives and be pleasing in the sight of God, you see. If we keep our mind on what baptism is all about, what it did for us, how it started us off, how it separated us from sin, how it brought us into a new relationship with Christ Jesus. And over, you see, these writers talk about this. In verse 22 of the 6th chapter of Romans, he says, he had just said in verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? And now, those things they were ashamed of, all of these sins that they had been committing. And we have already read some of the sins the Gentiles were guilty of. Go back to the 1st chapter and you can see all of the sins of the Gentiles as they're listed there. And he says, for the end of those things is death. Now that's what sin brought. It brought death. But now, people who have been baptized, but now being made free from sin. When did that occur?
when we came up out of that watery grave of baptism. Being made free from sin and become servants of God. I'm a servant of God. Why? I've been baptized. You see. That's where it all started. When I come out of that watery grave. You see how baptism changes your whole life? Our whole life changed when we were baptized. We came into an entirely different relationship. We had sin cut off from our life. We came forth as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We came forth from the watery grave, servants of God. And then he goes on to say in the latter part of this 26th verse, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now, a people who have been baptized have their fruit unto holiness. You see why we constantly talk about sin and sins of the flesh? And we constantly warn, where do those things belong? They don't belong in the life of a Christian. They belong with the old man. We were separated from all of this when we were baptized, you see. And over inspired writers tell us this. We need to constantly keep these truths in mind. We need to remember our baptism that we might have a good conscience. When did we have a good conscience? Well, it started when we were baptized. 1 Peter 3 and 21. You remember how terrible you felt before you were baptized. Oh, I've seen some of you that I have baptized feel terrible. Terrible. Missy Osborne, I remember how terrible that young lady felt. And that's the way she ought to have felt. That's the way all of us ought to feel when we're baptized. She felt terrible. I mean, it was evident how bad her sins were bothering her. She wanted to be baptized. Well, we ought to remember all that. All of us need to remember how bad we wanted to be baptized. We ought to remember our sins from the standpoint of how bad they were and how guilty we felt and how bad our conscience hurt us. But when did we get relief? When we were baptized. You see, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whenever a man is baptized, he comes forth with a good conscience. Why? He knows he has obeyed the Lord. Now, how do you keep that good conscience? By a continual obedience. Just as you obeyed the first principles of the gospel and you came from that watery grave with a good conscience, the way to keep that good conscience is to continue to obey. You see? But again, we need to remember baptism that we might know whose servants we are. And that's what Paul brings up. In the sixth chapter, again, as we go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, and he says there in verses 16 and 17, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, he says, whoever you serve, that's whose servant you are. Now, when did we quit serving the devil? Well, he tells us, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Now, he's not thinking that they were the servants of sin, but what he's thinking for is what happens in this next phrase, But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Then he says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, I'm not a servant of the devil. You're not a servant of the devil, or you ought not to be, and I ought not to be. Why? I've been baptized. When did I become a servant of God? When I was baptized. When was I saved? When I was baptized. When was I separated from my sins? When I was baptized. When did I enter Jesus Christ? When I was baptized. You see how important baptism is to our lives, and how we ought never to forget baptism and what occurred. And we need to remember our baptism to keep our affections, as I've already pointed out, in the right place. Why were you baptized? Why was I baptized? Well, I was baptized because I want to go to heaven. I do not want to be lost. That's the reason you were baptized. You didn't want to be lost. You wanted a proper relationship with God. You wanted to be saved. And going back to a passage we've already looked at here in Colossians 3, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you've come forth from that watery grave, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So go back and remember your baptism. Remember how your affections really were on things above. You wanted to go to heaven. Not that you don't want to go now, but sometimes, you know, that we let some of that zeal and that feeling wears off. And that's the reason we need to go back and get our minds on this. This helps us, you know. Whenever you were first baptized, go back and talk about unity. Well, you didn't have any idea of being divided from anybody or being mad at anybody or being upset and the church having any kind of division or what you wanted. Your heart was filled with love and you had obeyed the gospel and you wanted the closeness of your brethren. You loved them. You wanted them. You see the reason we need to remember our baptism over and over. It is so helpful to help all of us to better live the life that God would have us live as Christians. Well, let's look at something else. We need to remember our baptism, as I've already pointed out, to remember whose children we are. As we read a while ago, back in the Galatian letter, he said in the third chapter and down about verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, whose child am I? I'm a child of God. How come and when did this happen? When I was baptized. Think about it. I'm a child of God. When did this all start? When I was baptized. When did it start with you? When you were baptized. You came into the family of God. You remember Paul, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, told him in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, or the idea is the family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of the truth. When did I come into this family? When I was baptized. When I was baptized, I came into the family of God. When you were baptized, you came into the family of God. You see how baptism is such a focal point in all of our lives? How important it is. How important it is we understand it, that we might be saved from our sins, and how important it is after we become Christians, what a role it plays in our life
We must never forget our baptism. Christians, teach and preach the gospel to others because they have been baptized. You remember the Apostle Paul, how he persecuted and fought the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how he was doing everything to make havoc of the church, and he was on his way to Damascus to do all the damage he could to the disciples there. And then, of course, the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus road, and he then was told to go into the city, and it would be told him there what he must do to be saved. And he went into the city, and Ananias, the preacher, came to him. And let's pick up with the record in the 9th chapter of Acts and verse 18. And we learn something here. What happens to a fellow after he's baptized? And immediately there fell from his eyes. This is verse 18 of chapter 9 of Acts. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. You see? Later on, the record says in Acts that he was baptized to have his sins washed away. That's what Ananias told him, Acts 22:16. So he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Now notice verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. What did he want to do immediately after he was baptized? Go teach other people. What did you want to do after you were baptized? Go teach somebody. That's the first thing you started out doing, trying to teach somebody the gospel. What did people do as we began to study not only Paul, but as we began to look at the disciples going back in the book of Acts in the early chapters there, like in the 8th chapter in verse 4, the record says, therefore they that were scattered abroad, what they do? Went everywhere preaching the word. You and I preach the gospel to others because we have what? Been baptized. We feel a debt. The salvation that we enjoy, we feel that we are debtors to share this with others. This is what Paul felt. He tells us this in Romans 1 and verse 14. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Once a man enjoys this salvation, what does he want to do? Share it. Once you're baptized, what do you want to do? You want to baptize your neighbors and friends and father and mother and whoever else hasn't been baptized. And that's the pattern as you begin to study the New Testament. Christians experience true and genuine joy in life because they have been baptized. No man has ever experienced true joy until he has been baptized. And that's what we see. When you turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and here you read the story of the eunuch being baptized. Let's read, beginning with verse 38 of Acts 8, and he commanded the chariot. Now Philip has been preaching to him and teaching him about Jesus and about the essentiality of baptism. And he commanded, verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now notice that next verse. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the last phrase says, and he went on his way rejoicing. When did true joy come into your heart? When you were baptized.
And don't ever forget that joy. And the way to keep that joy is to remember your baptism. Remember these things. You see the great lessons that come from baptism. Baptism is essential to be taught from the other direction to the center. And when you begin to read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts, you see the emphasis from that standpoint. When you begin to read the epistles, you see the writers begin to bring up these folks who have already been baptized and teaching them these great lessons. Lessons we need to learn and seeing the essentiality. And of course, these same truths can, we can take these truths and of course, teach alien sinners and make them see what baptism is all about. A fuller understanding of this great subject of baptism. And so, I hope this lesson will help all of us to live better. But I say at the end of it, are you here and have never been baptized? If you are, you're out of Christ. You're out of His kingdom. You're in your sins. You are suffering the guilt of sin. And the only way to be made free from sin is to be baptized. Now, what comes before this, of course, as we've already pointed out, you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your ever sin. Confess your Lord before men as the eunuch did. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins might be washed away. And if you're here and subject in any other way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?